Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey. Hey. They can hear in the morning.
You know why they yawning, Talk to him.
Come on,
get them out the way.
Come on.
Ain't got way about that.
We loosen the movement.
The story.
It's happening. Colossal! Our destiny is greatness.
Talk to him.
Oh, come on. Talk to him.
Woo! That's right, baby. We are back. It is Who We Got Wednesday, the season finale, and we are ready to go today, baby. Ha, ha, ha. B, what's up with you, E? What's going on, boy?
Man, what's happening? It is the fall finale. I'm thankful for it.
Yeah,
No. That's a great finale. That is a great finale as well. I'm feeling good. We've got an excellent show lined up, and I'm looking forward to having a great time this morning. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it on this fall finale. 2 months. 2 months of no morning show. We're gonna have to do something this time to engage our listeners while we're gone. I don't know what that means, but I'm gonna miss you guys. I'm gonna miss you guys.
We're definitely gonna miss you guys. We definitely
tear falls.
Let me tell y'all something. Ain't no tears falling over here.
Nick's not gonna miss you. That's what he's saying. I'm gonna miss you.
I'm gonna miss you, but I ain't dropping no tears. Y'all better email me or something. Hey, he said it best. If you want to hear us when we're on hiatus, we have a host of shows before y'all were loyal that you haven't listened to on Motivational Monday. So go listen to those, and by the time you get caught up, we'll be back.
Yeah. No, we will be back. We will be back. I have a feeling I'll be back as fantasy football champion. I just got a feeling. But that's a different discussion.
So now you James Brown. You out here got feelings. Okay. I got it.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. We're talking about unity today. It's as simple as that. You can crack down today's episode to one word, and that is unity. All right, and we're talking to a religious man, and we're talking from a religious perspective. And this is going to be nice.
Oh yeah, man. It's no better time than to talk about unity with the election, with the world, with all the things that are in it. And we've got somebody good to talk about it. Bro, let's go ahead and get out the way. Bro, we're talking about unity today. Who are we talking about unity with, good brother? Who we got?
Born in Harrisburg, PA, graduated from University of Pittsburgh, all right, and Howard University College of Dentistry, where he got his Doctor of Dental Surgery degree in 1987. He is the founder and the CEO of More Orthodontist. You understand that? More orthodontist. You need an orthodontist. I feel like I'm always saying this word wrong. Orthodontist. If you need it, More Orthodontist is doing good business, and they've been doing good business for a while. In 2015, he joined the faculty of Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry in the Department of Orthodontics as an adjunct clinical assistant professor. That's right. He is a professor. He professes. He also teaches Bible study. Sunday school. However, he teaches Bible study on Sunday mornings. That's what they call Sunday school. He's a deacon. He's a deacon at Triumph Baptist Church. And he's got a bunch of stuff on his resume and his bio, but we've got a show to do, and I want to introduce him to you guys. I'm so happy to have him. He's been an awesome friend and an awesome mentor to me and Nicholas, and we love this guy to death. He is Dr. Deacon Brian Moore. What's happening, Dr. Moore? How you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. Like I told you guys earlier, you guys got me up very early in the morning, and it's not even morning, it's just the morning, and I'm just happy to be here. So just excited about you guys and what you're doing, the platform, and just getting a message out to the people. I think it's great, and I'm really proud of both you and Nick.
Oh, man, thanks, Doc. Thanks, Doc. It's truly an honor and a privilege to have you on the show, Doc. I mean, you, like he said it best, you've been a mentor, a friend, and really just a good example of how to live as an African-American man in this country and be a man of God, man. And I'm grateful for it. I truly am grateful for it, and that I'm excited about today.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. We really appreciate you, Dr. Moore. We really do. And, you know, it's amazing. We were talking about before we got onto the air how much you love what you do, which is such a necessary thing that we all work to do what we love so we don't have to work to try to love what we do. And you love being a dental surgeon. How rewarding is that? How rewarding is being a dental surgeon and an entrepreneur?
Well, I'll tell you, Eric, I mean, it's a lot of hard work, but the bottom line is if you are passionate about what you do, then it shows in your empathy for your people, and then they know that you care about them. Even at the office, I tell people all the time, you know, we're more than just creating beautiful smiles. We're about the community, and we are about them. So we let them know up front, you know, it's not about just a business deal that we're just, you know, for in it for the money. But we get out into the community. We do health fairs. We mentor. We participate in scholarships and things like that. So people really understand that, we, you know, we actually care. And I think that's what separates us apart from a lot of people, a lot of offices. So, again, the bottom line is, you know, people, when they understand that you care, then they listen to you. And it's just about giving back. It's just about making a part. And you see a lot of young people, people like you and Nick, that are doing some wonderful things. So, for me, it's just an investment in the future. And I think the biggest gift that we can give to say, mankind is a prepared youth for tomorrow. We have to get everybody ready because we have to pass the mantle one day of leadership, and then we have to have people prepared to take over. But again, with what I do orthodontics, it just is overwhelmingly amazing what I can do and what we do for people, and it just has a positive impact on their lives. A lot of people look at orthodontics as just maybe just smile and just teeth, but it touches so many areas in terms of their vocation, because if you have a messed up smile, which is the first thing that people notice, then you might not be in line for certain jobs like anchors on TV or even a model, or even your dating, your social things, you know. So, again, it just puts you in line. So it has a positive impact, and I'm just happy to be able to touch people in a positive way.
Yeah. I love the way you say having a messed up smile doesn't put you in line for certain things, and you include dating.
Absolutely.
In other words, if you can't get a man or if you can't get a woman, you might need to see more orthodontists. You might need to fix your face, fix your smile. Anyway.
You might not just be your life you need straightened out. You know what I'm talking about? Might not just be your life. Might need them teeth. I ain't going to say no. I'm just saying.
We just saying. That's all. We're just saying. No, before we get into the government and voting and the like, we're talking about unity today. So from a very foundational standpoint and personal standpoint, just tell us about that word and how can we be more unified, Dr. Moore, in our daily lives.
For me, to be more unified in our daily lives, it comes, like I said, from your preparation. And I think in everything that we choose to do, it has to start out with God. So we have to make a conscious decision to, you know, to live out our faith. And, you know, we also hear in James, you know, faith without works is dead. So we have to have something to back up. We say we are Christians. We say we are of this faith, we're of that faith. But, again, we need to have some works to back it up. Now, we know we're not talking about salvation. We're just talking about, you know, just being standing on the Word of God. And I think to be successful, you have to start there, because it talks about in the Bible that, you know, He is the vine and we are the branches. And if we abide in Him and He abides in us, then we can produce much fruit. But apart from Him, we're nothing. So for me, my unity is understanding who I am first and knowing my relationship with God. And then that's from the foundation that I start off on. Just like if you're building anything, if you build a house, you don't want to build it on sand or mud, because if a rainstorm comes, you know, it can get washed away. So the Word of God is what you have to build your platform or your foundation on, and then you can go from there. And for me, like I said, in unity in my daily life, it's a little easy, because I just concentrate and focus on just honoring God and glorifying Him in all that I do. And I just think about what He did for me. First of all, you know, if you go back to Jeremiah, he said, you know, before we were even in our mother's womb, He knew us. And I'm like, wow, itty bitty me, you know, He knew all about me. And even David talked about in one of the Psalms, he said, who was man that you're mindful? So, again, it just makes me understand that God loves us. And then when we look at Romans 5:8, it talks about, and God demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were still yet sinners, He died for us. And that's amazing, because while we were His enemy, while we were had enmity with Him, He died for us, and we're not willing to die for a person that we love. And God saw right. us, and we weren't even deserving, and He died for us. So that makes it easy for me to go out and to understand that I'm no better than anybody else. I stand in judgment and nobody else, because, you know, for the grace of God, you know, there go I. So it just makes it easier for me to go out and live the Word of God, and then I think that will bring unity, you know, with myself, and just understanding that I'm carrying out the Word of God, and in the community and with people, because they see that you care, and then, you know, they get, it's infectious, and then they likewise join in. So it starts with God. Everything starts with God, and I think we can't get away from it, but that love, we just have to keep on that word love and understand it's an action, and we just have to demonstrate it in our daily lives.
Yeah. Now, you say everything starts with God. It's funny, because our nation started with God. It was built on religious principles and on a godly foundation. We have "In God We Trust" on our money, and we have lines of lyrics about God in the national anthem, because this nation is at least supposed to be built on God. And if we know one thing about God, God is all about unity. I mean, Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that we be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And I mean, 1 Peter 3:8 says, "All of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." So we're supposed to be a unit. We're supposed to be unified. I mean, this was the idea that they thought the country was supposed to be molded around. Yet it seems like this year, obviously, more than any other year, it's been just it's been a boxing match. It's been us versus them. It's been such a heated rivalry going on within government, to the point where you would support somebody simply because you're on that side. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is the side I'm on. I'm not on your side, so I'm not gonna side with you, despite who's leading my side. This is my side.
Right.
So the thing is, you know, I mean, I've always kind of disliked party lines. And while I'm not big on Hillary Clinton, I've never been more proud to be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't even talk to one another right now. We don't even like to talk to one another. I mean, you know, if you see someone who supports Donald Trump, you for a moment, you look at them as a different person. You don't really want to speak to them sometimes. Why does it always have to be, Dr. Moore, us versus them? And division is the devil's work. just as much as unity is God's work. So we know God doesn't like division, but are party lines ruining this country? And is it possible to find something like unity in such a divisive political time?
Well, Eric, I actually believe, and I'm a positive person, optimistic person, but party lines, like you said, for all the reasons that you mentioned, definitely are ruining this country. And, you know, even we all heard what Senator Mitch McConnell said on the same day President Obama was inaugurated, that his goal and the goal of the Republican Party was to make him a one-term president. So instead of working together as a team and passing legislations and, you know, that would propagate the concerns of the people, they spent nearly 4 years trying to stop everything the Democrats and President Obama was trying to do. And how many times did they try to replace and repeal Obamacare? So really, it's all about people. And, you know, people all the time vote against their interests. And I think a lot of it, present day, it stems from racial undertones. And they just, like you said, they just told the party line. President Lyndon Johnson, he said it best. He was asked, why do so many poor and middle-income whites vote against their interests? And he said, if you can convince the lowest white man that he is better than the best colored man, then he won't mind you picking his pocket. Hell, give him someone to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. So that just shows you that and let you know that he knows that he is being played. He's being played, but still to the point that if he says or he feels that he's going to vote for a Democrat that might give me an advantage over him, then he's not going to do it, even if it costs him, you know, something in return. And case in point, you know, a couple years ago, we took our eyes off of the midterm election in 2010. And that's when Governor Corbett came into Pennsylvania. Well, look, the moment that Corbett got in, he started slashing education. So you can bet there's a whole lot of teachers and teacher families that voted maybe for Corbett only to lose their job and other benefits because this man got in. So, again, they were voting because of the R word and voting for the right against their interests. But, you know, they saw what happened. So, again, it's just really insidious but it's about power. You know, it's about power. It's about economics, and no one's just going to give it up just without taking it. You know, no one's just going to give it to you. So you have to, you know, you have to take it. And when it comes to, you know, the party line deal, I just think that it's not going to, especially in this climate of divisiveness. I don't see a clear path forward. Even now, when you talk about the Supreme Court justices. And you have Merrick Garland that's up for even the vote. And they said, well, look, we're going to wait. This is the Republicans. They said, well, we're going to wait until, you know, the new president comes in. So now they're even moving that on and say, well, look, even in the whole term, they might not vote on him. So the bottom line is they're always moving the goal line. And the bottom line is I don't see going forward that there's going to be any chances of us coming together politically because everybody is huddled together on their team and it's all about power and it's about money. And like you said, they're not going to cede it to anybody. You have to take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That was so rich. There were so many facts there that I was kind of mesmerized for a second, just kind of soaking it all in. But this conversation quickly took a very quality turn that kind of goes right down the alley in which I want to get into. And the first is we're talking about the election.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about our people and how they're viewed and what people outside of our culture as African Americans do to try to hold us back, bog us down. My question is around the importance of this year's election, and we're talking about unity. So here it is. How important is it for we as African Americans, but equally as important as we as a people? Now, when I say equally as important, what I'm saying is that, and you kind of touched on this already. First of all, it's extremely important for we as African Americans because we have this vicious racist who seems to think that going back to cotton fields and slavery is going to make America great again. But so it's extremely important for all of our people. But it's even as equally as important for this country, because obviously, you know, when we are taken back 100 years, it's not just our people that are affected. Obviously, if we give the nuclear codes to a man who's finger heavy, you know, only God knows what can happen, right? So this isn't just a cry for our culture, and for our people. This is more of a cry for all people. And so, how important is it for us as a people in its entirety, as well as us as African Americans, to come together and vote in this election?
Well, I think it's ultimately, I mean, it's just, this is the most bizarre and nasty and polarizing presidential election I've ever witnessed. And you heard this man, he bigoted and racial remarks. And on day one, he came out talking about the illegal immigrants and they were murderers and rapists. And he was talking about building walls. So already he's talking about division. He's not talking about unity and bringing people together. And then he leashes ire on the Muslims, all at the same time saying that he wanted to make America great again. So, again, that begs the question, when was America great again? And so if they do go back to the 50s where I heard people were talking about that's when it was great again, or the 60s, well, we know that it wasn't great for everybody. It wasn't great for black people. It wasn't great for a lot of people, but it was great for a few people. So at that time, he was sending – giving red meat to his base, and it was dog whistle politics, that he was sending a clear message to them. Maybe we didn't hear it, and most of us did with a third eye and ear, but the bottom line is it was a clear message that things were going to change for blacks, Hispanics, and Muslims. And if you looked at that little documentary that's on Netflix, and I recommend that for everyone, it's called 13th, and they just really chronicle how we came from slavery and Jim Crow and then to mass incarceration, and that's the new Jim Crow, and just how they are just taking advantage of us left and right. We have to understand that this is a critical time, and we can't be on the sidelines. We have to get out there. We have to become unified, and we have to vote. Matter of fact, if we just look at our history, look at the people taking a beating, look at the suffering that our men and women had to go through just to get the little things that we have now, it's unconscionable if we sit home and we sit on the couch, and then we have no one else to blame. But, again, it doesn't start there or stop there. Even if we do get Hillary Clinton in the White House, I think it's incumbent on us as people not just to give our vote away. We have to get something for a vote like other people. We have to have the black caucus go and just say, look, what about jobs? What about, you know, the economy? What about, you know, the criminal justice reform? What about all these things? And so it's not just about the president. I tell people it's not just about the White House. It's about our house. It's about your house. So this vote and this election cycle is critical that we get out there. And one last thing I'll say, it's not just about the president, but we got to look at the down ballots with the senators and the local judges that have a great impact on our lives here locally.
And now you mentioned the separation piece, and my ears perked up when you said it, because that's where I'm headed. When you say unity, you can't leave God out of it.
Absolutely.
Right? To me, when you say unity, you have to have God involved. And it would seem as if that over the course of the development of democracy, of this government, that they have simply tried to separate it. I mean, you look at the separation between church and state. You look at prayer and religion no longer being taught or allowed in schools. So there is clearly an effort to kind of separate the two and to give people the opportunity to choose. But it's clear that that has hurt our children and hurt the future of this country, because that is no longer an importance for our students and for our young people, because they're not seeing or understanding the value and the necessity of God. So as it pertains to God in this country, with the separation of state between church and state and prayer no longer being in schools, how do we get the God and the unity message to our kids so that we start to see it matriculate down through each generation?
Well, you know what? That's a great question. And, you know, like you said, state-sponsored prayer has been abolished in the schools since 1962. And because of the separation of church and state, and now we live in such a diverse population of people, of immigrants coming in, so they want to be politically, quote, correct. But again, they're trying to, and they have watered down God and the influence, and they just use him to pimp him for election type of things and just to get what they want. But for me, I really think the family unit has to be held most responsible for teaching their children about God and how we should relate with each other. And I think the parents have to be positive role models and lead by example. You know, for example, you know, going to church and morning devotions, praying together and helping others, you know, through service. And, you know, someone once told me that you tell me, I forget, you show me, I remember.
That's right.
Involve me, I understand. So the greatest thing I think, Nick, that we can do is just to, again, be unified in Christ and reflect the Christ that's in us. And I look at Mark 10:45, and it talks about, Jesus says, he said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So for me, that speaks about service, because he came to serve. He came to, as a servant leader, he rolled up his sleeves and he went to work. And when he gave his life a ransom, I mean, he sacrificed. He paid the whole price. So that talks about sacrificing. And that's all written together or tied together with the thread of love. So, again, that's what we have to do in our everyday life, and that's what we need to just reflect on. We can't rely on the school systems because we know that they're not going to do it. We have to take it back to the family. I don't care if it's just a single mom in the house. She needs to teach her children. If it's the family unit, as we get in the conventional family unit, then, again, they need to sit down. They need to eat together. They need to talk together, talk about ideas. But the most importantly, they just need to lead by example, get out in the community, show that they love God by just demonstrating their faith. And that's where I started out. We have to demonstrate our faith by our works, and we have to be unified in Christ. But one last thing I'll say is that America is not in God's covenant. The people are. So, again, America is only blessed because the Christians and the people of God are moving, and we're blessed. But we have to continue to seek him. And like the Chronicles talk about, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive the sin and heal their land.
Oh, yeah.
If we remember God and stay there, then I think we'll be fine.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. What do we do from here, bro? What do we do from here? Do we ask him to leave us with something more than he's already left us with, or do we just tell everybody that that's where it starts and that's where it ends, and that's basically what we wanted to get out of this, and we got out of it just that. I mean, God is the foundation and God is the ending. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, He's
Amen.
How this country started, and He's how this country is going to end up. I mean, listen here. There's nothing better than when two or three agree, okay, and if we have a majority of the country agree, okay, then we'll be on
good
stand.
There's power in prayer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah. So let's do it then. So listen here. This is our fall finale. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Moore. Now, if you can, in a few seconds. 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or I don't know, 30 more minutes. Just wrap up the show, summarize everything, and leave our listeners, most importantly, leave our listeners with something tangible, something as tangible as possible, as we send them into the next 2 months of No Nick and Eric in the Morning. And send them into a wonderful Wednesday. Leave them something that will brighten their day, brighten the rest of their week, something that they can take from this morning.
All right, sure. like we've been talking about, everything starts and ends with God. He is the Alpha and He's the Omega, and we have to stand on His word. And as true Christians living out His word, then a lot of times things will look a certain way and it will feel a certain way, but He tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all His ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. What we have to really do is just to trust God. Just lay back and trust God, and, you know, He will be there. He always told us in His word that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We just have to prepare ourselves. But really, we have to believe in God, believe in ourselves, believe in our dreams, stay focused, and really just don't give up. And just trust God. Don't worry about all the talk and all the political pundits. It's going to be all right. God knows all about what we're going through, and He
yes.
loves us very much, and He has us at His heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Rich.
Very, very rich. Very, very rich. There it is. All right, bro. Take us out of here. Do your thing.
Listen. This is it, people. This is it. You know, we've given our 4 months, and we've done so in fine fashion. It's a bittersweet moment to be leaving you guys, but we are grateful for you tuning in Wednesday after Wednesday, Tuesday after Tuesday, Monday after Monday, supporting us, but more importantly, seeking to grow your mind, to grow in your life, and to just gain knowledge. And so we're extremely grateful. And one of the things that we want to make sure that you gain, no matter what day it is, no matter what show it is, no matter what the content of the show is, we want you to remember that your destiny, not because of me, not because of E, not because of anybody outside of the great, is greatness. And again, it's not because of you, it's not because of me, it's not because of E, our destiny is greatness. Why, brother? Come on, E, talk to him.
Because God, God did it.
That's right. Our destiny is greatness because God did it. We'll holler at you. We'll see you guys next season. If you need anything, you need a word, shoot us an email, shoot us a text. We can reach out even in hiatus because there's always a word from Nick and Eric in the morning that'll get you from out of what the stuff you're in. So tune in to all the archive shows if you need to listen. And if not, hit us up. There's a word from the Lord in us for sure. We'll talk to y'all
That's
soon.
It.
Peace. I holler.
Baby.